worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire on his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Then skipping to the New Testament, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verses 14 through 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift, the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to talk with you every day of our lives and have a one-on-one appointment with you as we open your word and you speak words of blessing, words of life, words of grace, words of empowerment to us. With every passing day, more and more help us to fall more in love with you and with your precious word, and empower us to be the faithful hearers and doers you'd have us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're so very thankful that we can come before your throne today. We can come into your presence based on being clothed in the righteousness of your dear Son, Jesus. Father, we pray for our listening family. We bring them to you one by one, different needs, Father, people with health needs, people with relationship needs. And Father, there are those who don't know you as their Savior. Father, we bring them to you today and pray that you will do a mighty work in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to let you know, Engage Magazine is a division of the American Family Association that's dedicated to strengthening and building up the generation of young Christian adults who are inheriting the culture war from their parents and grandparents. Through an online publication as well as a weekly podcast, Engage Magazine hopes to equip young Christians with Bible-enriched information and wisdom. This month, Engage is releasing Volume 5 of the Engage Magazine biannual. In this print edition of Engage Magazine, M.D. Perkins, Laura Perry, Wesley Wyman, and others explore how we're created in the image of God. Hope that you'll take the opportunity to look at Engage Magazine. To sign up for the magazine, go to engagemagazine.net. Again, that's engagemagazine.net, and click the magazine tab. And also, we're continuing to encourage you, please do email us for information about the Ten Commandments Project, an aggressive youth discipleship project that we're involved in. And we're encouraging you to allow your young people to be involved. It involves youth both memorizing the Ten Commandments and getting a free T-shirt, but also for those that wish to write a speech on one of the commands, make a short video of that young person sharing the speech, send it to us. And we'd like to put them to work in that regard, as well as, of course, it's a contest whereby they can receive monetary prizes. We're going to listen briefly to one of the speeches by a young lady by the name of London as she shares her thoughts on the first commandment.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, there we find the Ten Commandments. In verse 1 through 3, we are told, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of Bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. The very first commandment is in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Very simply, the first commandment tells us to put God first before everything else. In life, people have many different priorities. For some people, certain things are important to them. For others, other matters are important or more important. The Word of God lets us know the Ten Commandments, that God is to be first in our lives. God is to be number one above everything else. Well, someone may want to ask a very real and thoughtful question. Why is it important that we put God first in our lives? I'm glad you asked. Allow me to share some wisdom of the matter. First, we should put God first before all else because he said so. He is God and we are supposed to obey his word. If God tells us to do something, we need to know that it is good for us. Every command in the word of God, when we hear and obey it, we will be blessed as we do it, as we do what it says. Also, when we put God first, life will begin to work better and better for us. When God is in first place in our lives, the rest of life can come together like it should. When God is not first place, nothing else will be right in the right place either. How do we as believers put God first in our lives? Let's look at a few other ways we can. First, a person needs to give his or her life to Christ. We must first get saved without having Christ in our lives, in your heart. And being saved, a person does not have the ability to put Christ first in his or her life. After a person gets saved, a believer should put God first by taking the time to pray every day and do it early in the day. If we decide to make time to pray, we put God first by seeking his help, his wisdom, and his power that can help us with challenges of life. And we can avoid making excuses such as, I am such a busy person, I don't have time to pray. Another way to put God first is to read God's word every day. To truly put God first in our lives, we need to listen to his wisdom every day. We can read God's word instead of spending most of our time reading other things or watching TV or spending much of our time on the internet. Also, we put God first when we obey the word of God. As we read the word of God and obey it, we put God first by choosing to do things his way rather than our own ways or the world's way. So disobedience is one way that we fail to put God first. Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 tells us, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of prophets. If we want to put God first, we will obey his word and be kind and thoughtful in our words, actions, and attitude towards others in a way that we would want someone to be to us. So obedience to the word of God is clearly one more way to put God first. Pray the Ten Commandments. Lord, thank you for this day. Help me this day to put you first in every way and in all that I do. Help me, Lord, to not make or have any graven images. Help me, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help me, Father, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Lord, help me this day to honor my father and mother. Lord, help me this day to not murder. Help me to not commit adultery. Help me to not steal. Help me, Lord, to tell the truth. Help me, Lord, to not covet. Well, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. A speech by London, a 10-year-old, and that's a mighty powerful sermon from a 10-year-old, I tell you what. But we're continuing to encourage every single listener. Hope that you'll help your young people get engaged in the Ten Commandments Project. It's a great discipleship project for all of our children, whatever age they might be. So for more information about that project, email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, an aggressive way to help put the Word of God, help our children come to know Christ, and to put the Word of God in their minds and their hearts. We are honored and blessed to have with us as our phone guest today, Dr. Matt Ayers. He's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary, and he's formerly a missionary. He and his family were a missionary family in Haiti with One Mission Society. Dr. Ayers, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor Joseph. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I know you probably keep a pretty, pretty busy schedule, but we're grateful that you could come and be with us. Would you take a moment to further introduce yourself? And then we want to talk some about Wesley Biblical Seminary as well.
Yeah, sure. And again, thanks for having me on. Love AFR, AFA, and Pastor Joseph. You and I are friends, and it's great to get to know you and be on the show here with you. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, so April 2020, the Lord called us, our family, in the midst of a pandemic to leave Haiti, our home, where we had been living and serving for 13 years, to come and serve in Jackson, Mississippi, at Wesley Biblical Seminary, a school from which I graduated with my master's degree. I did my undergraduate at Asbury College, now University, in Kentucky, outside of Lexington. And then went on to do a PhD in Old Testament studies, specifically discourse analysis of Hebrew poetry and the Psalms at the University of Chester. And so now I find myself, interestingly enough, by God's providence, not just teaching Old Testament and the Book of Psalms, also teaching on the topics of pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit, and most recently, spiritual warfare. The Lord has really led me, again, by His providence, some of it coming from my experience in Haiti, which is an interesting place to serve and engage in spiritual warfare, to teaching others in the Western context what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. And so those are some of my interests in teaching topics, and more than anything else, just kind of excited for this new chapter serving at WBS, being a part of the American church once again after being part of the Haitian church for so long. And watching the Lord do His miraculous, powerful, redeeming, regenerating, reviving work in the lives of individuals. So it's a thrilling time.
Okay. Well, again, grateful to have you on with us today. And as far as Wesley Biblical Seminary, there may be lots of people have heard of it, but then there are lots of people who have never heard it until you just mentioned you and I mentioned it here on the broadcast. So tell our listeners a little bit more about Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Wesley Biblical Seminary was founded in 1974 in Jackson, Mississippi, or just outside of Jackson, Mississippi, the Jackson metro area. And it was founded as a Wesleyan Arminian seminary, you know, graduate school of divinity, where people get master's degrees, primarily master's divinity, so pastoral degrees, for credentialing to be pastors and ministers. Within Wesleyan Arminian denominations. So that would include our Methodist brothers, our Nazarene brothers. There's a whole, you know, litany and a host of other offshoot Methodist traditions, the Wesleyan Church, and many, many others. And so, but we also have non-Wesleyans as well. And we're also serving a number of the historic African-American Wesleyan denominations in the Deep South. So that would include the Missionary Baptists. We're also serving the African Methodist Episcopal Church and African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, and a number of other smaller holiness groups, Wesleyan Arminian African-American denominations, which makes us, you know, the most racially diverse seminary in the nation, which we're obviously really proud of. But, you know, interestingly enough, we didn't try for that designation. It just kind of the way that the Lord worked it out. So kind of what makes WBS, what we go by, Wesley Biblical Seminary is a mouthful, so we say WBS. What makes us distinct is captured in our name, in the sense that we are a Wesleyan seminary, meaning that in thinking about salvation, we very much promote and like John
Wesley. Dr. Ayers, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Matt Ayers, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
You speak from heaven, we call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven, we call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Music of Danson Oyekan. Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Matt Ayers. He's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Dr. Ayers, if we can pick up right there where you left off, after you, I'm going to ask if you'll, before you get picked back up there, pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit would say through you and through the broadcast today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your providence, for your grace, and for your love poured out upon us through the blood of Christ and indwelling of the Holy Spirit and his liberating power that dwells within us and that is great within us, greater than he who is in the world. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would penetrate our hearts and our minds through the sharing of your testimony of the great things that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are doing and through the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that, again, that your word would be effective and go out and yield fruit in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, and you were sharing about Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Yeah, so one of our institutional distinctions, what makes us different than other seminaries, is particularly our emphasis on Wesleyan's, John Wesley's way of thinking about salvation. That is, Protestants, we have a tendency to think about being saved in terms of strictly being the forgiveness of sins and then dying and going to heaven. And that's certainly true. You know, salvation is the forgiveness of sins or the doctrine of justification, and then dying and going to heaven being the doctrine of glorification. But John Wesley came along and said, you know, there's a really important other piece to this, and that's sanctification. Mm-hmm. That is that we're not just free from the guilt and shame of our sins, but we're also free from the power of sinning, that God can actually make us righteous, not just positionally and in terms of our status being righteous, taking on the righteousness of Christ, but actually becoming righteous by the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. And that's John Wesley's theology. It's biblical theology. It's not certainly unique to John Wesley. Mm-hmm. And so putting the emphasis then on the doctrine of sanctification. And then the other thing that makes us distinct as a seminary is our high, high, high view of Scripture. So Wesley Biblical Seminary, where most seminaries are theological seminaries, meaning that they exist to, you know, train those who are being ordained for particular denominations. We certainly do that. But we are independent. We are not specifically affiliated or operated by or owned by a particular denomination. And so our emphasis is on the Scriptures and having a high view of Scriptures. We believe that the Scriptures are inerrant, that is, without error. We believe the Scriptures are inspired. We believe that the Scriptures are authoritative. Based on that text that you read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. And so, you know, unfortunately, there aren't many seminaries in specifically the United States, that would adhere to or hold up a high view of Scripture and willingly declare that they believe that it's inerrant and that it's without error. And so that's what makes us unique as well, is our high view of Scripture. So, and then there's a number of other things that make us unique, but those are the main things.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of this too, Dr. Ayers. I'm going to ask if you'll touch on this too. We live in a society where we see more and more, obviously, schools in our nation, you know, college and universities, once upon a time that were dedicated to the work of the spread of the gospel, now not only often espouse atheistic perspectives, but you have people that try to reject the existence of God in leadership in some of those schools. And sadly, many times parents will very aggressively send them off to those schools because they're considered prestigious, but don't realize that sometimes they may be sending their child off to just a tragedy, because many a child that has gone to school as a Christian will leave there saying, I don't believe in God anymore. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So something that's interesting about Western culture, and what I mean by Western, well, that's kind of a long definition, but let's say our universities and colleges and even seminaries in America exist within the world of higher education and higher learning, of course. And that is an enterprise that wasn't born into, but has been shaped by a worldview that is rationalistic and naturalistic, which means that it means that all things can be explained by nature and by science and by reason. And if it can't be explained by reason, and if it can't be objectively measured by science and by observation, then we question whether or not it can be real. And so what happens from this worldview is that it makes our own human minds a higher standard of truth than God's word itself, because the word of God accounts for miracles and accounts for spiritual warfare, and it accounts for an unseen realm, things that are mysterious, because we understand from Scripture that God is an uncreated infinite being, the highest order of being, the Almighty, the Creator, the I Am of Exodus 3:14. If he's infinite and we are infinite, then there must be things that are real that we cannot encapsulate within human reason. And so our minds can't be a higher standard of truth than God's word. And so then, to demythologize, that is, ignore or take away the miraculous things that we read about in Scripture, would be to do damage to the text. And so what we're talking about here is putting faith before reason. Now, at the same time, the other side of that spectrum is that God, it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and defining that Word as Jesus himself, as the incarnation of that Word. And this Word, that is Logos in Greek, in the original language of the New Testament, is the preeminent organizing principle of all reality, the highest abstraction of reason that exists. And so we do serve a God of order and a God of reason and a God of structure and a God of intelligence. And so that's not to say that God is confusing or entirely mystical, but we have to keep in balance the order, reason, rationale on the one hand, but also this reality. There's going to be things that we can't understand as created beings because God's bigger than our mind. Mm-hmm. And so, and approaching the Scriptures through that particular lens. And so what happens is people go off to these academic institutions where the standard of truth is the human mind as opposed to the Word of God, which is very, very fatal. It's a fatal way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I think of too, Dr. Ayers, you know, God's Word lets us know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, of course, right, God's Word is the foundation of everything. And so, tragically, when you have those that are consider themselves professors and teachers, that when they try to discount God and the Word of God, they're cutting the foundation out from under all knowledge. And that's just tragic to consider.
Yeah, and we say that theology is the queen of all disciplines. So all truth is God's truth. And when we take understanding and thinking about God properly out of the equation, then things really begin to go, things begin to run amok.
I want to ask you to just address this matter. I recently saw a video presentation by a denomination where they were talking about embracing the LGBT community in the life and the work of the church, and the church being more understanding and not being oppressive as it relates to that issue. And tragically, again, when people fail to use the Word of God as the standard, it can let all kinds of things come into the church that really have no place there. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so this again, the issue is the Scriptures. It's not even really the issue of, you know, human sexuality and a progressive view of human sexuality. The Scriptures are clear on God's revealed will on human sexuality, that his will and his plan and his purpose for human sexuality is male and female. And we talk about the doctrine of the clarity of Scripture, that the message of the text is clear for those who read it seeking to love and obey God with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so the text is clear. And so the issue is not just
what are we going to say about human sexuality? The issue is, do we have a high view of the Scriptures? Mm-hmm. The Scriptures say in so many places and in so many ways, Old Testament and New Testament alike, on thousands of occasions, that this is God's plan for human sexuality, and human sexuality in these other forms that deviate from God's plan for human sexuality is against His will and a rebellion against Him. You know, there's not much more we can say about that. I mean, God has laid it out clearly in the Scriptures. And if that point isn't clear in the Scripture, I don't know what is clear in the Scripture. And I've heard people try to do, you know, interpretive acrobatics to try to say, well, we have to read those texts the right way. And look, I'm a huge proponent of properly dividing the Word of God mm-hmm. and putting to work the right exegetical tools and hermeneutical practices for interpreting God's Word. This is the area of my own, you know, PhD doctoral defense. And the interpretive practices that I see executed to try to say that the Bible doesn't say what it says about homosexuality and deviant human sexuality practices is bad hermeneutics, and it does violence to the text. And that's a really, really challenging place to be. And again, if the Bible doesn't clearly say that about human sexuality, male and female, then I don't know what we can say the Bible does say clearly about human sexuality.
Hmm. Well, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for the church to really boldly recommit itself to seeing God's Word as the foundation for everything, you know, as opposed to people that are slowly but surely drifting further and further away from the Word of God and just coming up with their own reasoning and their own perspectives on how we live the faith. Would you pray for the church in that way?
Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the revealed Word, You are the living Word, and that through the Holy Spirit we can understand You, and the Holy Spirit can give us and deposit in us the gift of faith to believe in You as the preeminent form of divine revelation. When we see You, Jesus, we see the Father. And likewise, Your Word, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that You've given to the church as being sufficient, fully complete, and unified in and of itself to reveal to us as Your people everything we need to know to live a life that is fully pleasing to You. Holy Spirit, give us the faith to believe in the Scriptures when there's so many wrong opinions and wrong ideas out in the world, out in the Scriptures, trying to debunk its reliability, trying to state its irrelevancy, trying to conceive of it being simply a book of myths and human invention. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that just like You give us and accord us the faith to believe in Jesus as the divine Word in flesh revealed, give us the faith to believe in the Scriptures, and help us, give us the courage and the boldness to obey the Scriptures, and to not live in a spirit of fear, and to live out with joy and peace, and yet confidence as Your people, with the help of the Holy Spirit, a life that's fully pleasing to You, and in accordance with and in harmony with the stipulations in Your Word. For we know that is life for us, Psalm 1, for he who meditates on the Word of God, both day and night, is like a tree that is planted beside streams of water, whose yields fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Help us be those healthy, strong believers with the help of the Holy Spirit and by putting our faith in Jesus and in the Word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the privilege we have of being able to become more and more rooted in Your Word as we just simply read and meditate on it daily. Lord, help us to recommit ourselves as the church to being believers who individually and collectively read and study Your Word as a lifestyle. Help us to recognize it as the anchor and the guide that it is to every part of life. And help us to be mindful that it's the source of all power and grace as well. Thank You for the wonderful gift of Your Word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, well, Dr. Ears, anything else you'd like to share with us about why? Well, and something I want to ask if you touch on, and you may have to, of course, finish on the other side of the break, but why is it so important for believers to seek to go to attend a biblical seminary, one that's rooted in Scripture, as opposed to those that don't do that? Why is that important?
Wow, that's a big question with a big answer. And so I think the bottom line is, oh, man, that's tough. So I mentioned before the doctrine of the clarity of Scripture, the perspicuity of Scripture, which states that the message of the text is clear for those who read it with the help of the Holy Spirit, seeking to love and obey God. The issue is here that God as a person, remember, God doesn't have relationships. God is relationship, and he is a person. The three persons of the Trinity, in Greek, the hypostasis. Above all else, he is a person. And as a person, he has the freedom of will to reveal himself to whom he chooses and to reveal himself in clarity. And there's a church father named Gregory of Nazianzus who lived in the 4th century, which is so close to Jesus' time, that's after Christ, obviously, and he had a whole lot to say about the fact that in order to grow closer to God, we have to have a clean heart. And this is what Jesus says in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. He said, those who are pure of heart will see God. And so the point is, we're not just out to understand the Bible. The goal, the overarching aim is to understand God himself, not just to know about him, but to walk with him and to have a dynamic relationship with him. The image of God standing on the hilltop with Abraham in dialogue, in conversation. Abraham didn't just know about God. He knew God personally.
Dr. Ayers, we're coming up on a break again, and we can pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Matt Ayers, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be back. Music of Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Dr. Matt Ayers, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Dr. Ayers, if someone wants to get in touch with Wesley or learn more about the work and mission of the school, how can they do that?
Yeah, so they can go to wbs.edu. That's wbravosusan.edu for education.
All right. Thank you, Dan. You mentioned also that you, a part of your area of study was pneumatology. And, of course, you know, I think of this, and give me the exact definition again of pneumatology.
Yeah, so pneumatology is a hybrid combo Greek word, or it comes from the Greek anyway, two Greek words, pneuma, which means spirit, breath or wind, and then, of course, logos, which is where ology comes from, which means the discussion of. And so pneumatology, then, is the discussion of the Holy Spirit. And pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. And, you know, I think of this, Dr. Ayers, too. Learning about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually so important to every believer in all the world, no matter who they are, where they live, too. Would you share why, from your heart and your perspective, why it's so important for us to learn to work and move in the power of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, wow, that's a big topic. And, you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, one of the main things that the Holy Spirit does, is glorify Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
is the guy who holds the spotlight on Jesus, who's the main character on the stage of God's redemptive story. And so in order for us to see Jesus clearly, we need the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit's work is to make Jesus real inside of our lives. To have a lot, there's a lot of wrong definitions out there in the world about who Jesus is. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do the people say that I am?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "Well, some say Elijah." Well, that's not right. Some say John the Baptist. That's not right. Some say Jeremiah. That's not right. Some say one of the prophets. That's not right. There's a lot of wrong teachings out there about Jesus, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to show us who Jesus is and to enable us to walk with Jesus. But more importantly than even glorifying Jesus, the Holy Spirit's the one who unifies us with Jesus and brings our life as believers into the inner life of the Holy Trinity itself, which is a tremendously powerful idea. The Holy Spirit's the one who invigorates and breathes life, sustains our breath in Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no breath in Jesus. We have no life in Jesus. He mediates that relationship. So important.
Hmm. And you know, that's a such a great topic and truth for believers to read and meditate and study on. And of course, the fact that Jesus' name and or title was, of course, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And it's powerful to even study who Christ is as it relates to the fact they were looking forward to the Anointed One coming too. And of course, that's Him in relation to the Holy Spirit as well.
That's right. And the Holy Spirit, being the third person of the Trinity, you know, deserves to be worshipped as a member of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, I think that we miss this. We focus our work as worship on God the Father or on Jesus, but we also are called to worship the Spirit as well. Now, again, the Spirit always points us to the other. The Spirit points us to the Father and points us to the Son. So we don't want to get into the other ugly habit of overemphasizing the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, when we look at Him, He goes, "Don't look at me, look at Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the caveat to that. So yeah, so important for a healthy Christian life is understanding the work and the role of the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. I want to ask if you'll specifically pray for believers to endeavor to live in such a way that they live a life in cooperation with the Holy Spirit as a lifestyle.
Yes, yes. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending the Spirit. As the apostolic teaching and the teaching of the Word tells us that You send the Spirit proceeds from You and from You, Jesus. Jesus, as You breathe on the disciples and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And Jesus, You say, "The Father will send the Spirit in My name." And so we understand, Holy Spirit, that You proceed from eternally the Father and from the Son, and that You are the bond of love between the Father and the Son. And Holy Spirit, You are the gift of the Father and the Son to Your church to mediate life everlasting, a life that is redeemed and regenerated and revigorated because of Christ's redemptive work on the cross. Holy Spirit, fill us. Don't just convict us. Don't just help us. Lord, fill us with Your powerful presence so that we may live free from the body of sin, that You may liberate us from the power of the passions of the flesh, that is our sin nature, that You would resurrect us in Jesus. As Paul says, help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, so that we may live a life that is a testimony to You. We don't pray these things so that our lives are better or more comfortable or happier. We pray these things so that our lives can point to You for others to see as a testimony. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Ayers, I want to ask if you'll specifically pray about one other related issue, too. You know, we were talking about colleges, universities, and even seminaries as well. We know you have many believers who may basically feel like, well, as long as my child is a believer, if they go to school, they'll be a missionary to their school. Well, the reality is if their child is not really strong in the Lord and really grounded in their faith, again, they can easily be pulled away. And I think of this in many, many years ago when I was a college freshman. I remember going to school, and I went to a Christian school. I went to Belhaven University, which is in Jackson, Mississippi. But I remember—
Yeah, not well.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
No, I was saying I know Belhaven well.
Right, right, not too far from Wesley. And I recall being in a position where I had great, great admiration for the college professors. And I think of how tragic it is that your average freshman probably is pretty much that way, greatly admiring your professors. And when the professor, though, is not only not a believer, but is an atheist who fully has as a mission extracting that child, that young person, that young man or young woman's faith from them, that's a tragedy. And so just the whole idea that parents need to be so much more careful than often than they are in helping their children and encouraging them to select a school, but also even seminaries. Some seminaries, again, young people can go there and end up getting in trouble. Would you pray for believers to be discerning about understanding that is so important, selecting the right schools to attend? Would you pray for that whole matter?
Yes. Yes. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift this particular issue up to you now and ask for your grace in this. Give parents discernment. Holy Spirit, we know that as a fire that you illuminate. You illuminate our sins. You illuminate our weaknesses. You illuminate places where we need to grow. You illuminate who Jesus is. But you also illuminate our wisdom. You give us divine insight and discernment so that we can know which door closing and which doors you're opening. Holy Spirit, we pray that if anyone is in the position now to be sending their kids off to school, whether that's a private under elementary school or wherever it is, that you would close doors where they should not be, yes, and yet you would open doors for where they should be. Lord, we know that the curriculum of schools is not what we find in the textbook. The curriculum is the teachers themselves, because the teachers are reproducing themselves. It's just the way that things are. And so, Lord, we pray that parents would be able to discern and realize that where they send the kids to school, they're going to look like their teachers. And if they're being taught by people who are in full rebellion against God, their children will pick up on that to become like those who are teaching them. Help us to understand it's a matter of discipleship, not just simply mind education and the download of data. So, Lord, we just pray for discernment. We pray that you would work in this midst, in the midst of these decisions that parents are making. Help them to discuss these things and see the angles, illuminate the dark spots they may not have been able to see before, so that they may fall directly into your perfect will for themselves and their children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, Dr. Ayerson, the last 3 minutes or so here, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about the mission work you did or about the present mission and work of Wesley Biblical?
So one thing that for a long time, seminaries existed to train pastors. And everyone has this idea that seminary is for pastors, for people who want to get master's degrees. What we're talking about are degree-seeking students. Mm-hmm. Well, that's becoming less and less true. At Wesley Biblical Seminary, approximately one-third of our student body are just lay people who want to go deeper in their knowledge of the scriptures and in their theological competencies. They want to learn more about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity and ecclesiology, soteriology, what it means to be saved, theories of atonement, how to be a part of reinvigorating their church and how to plant churches, how to lead worship. And so what I'm getting at a seminary, specifically Wesley Biblical Seminary, is not just for pastors. It's for everybody. We've got non-degree programs. We've got Through the Bible in a Year with seminary professors programs. We have Through Christian Theology in a Year with seminary professors. We have Audit Only. I'm teaching a course on spiritual warfare that's a 40-hour course this upcoming fall, starting in late August, and it's audit only. No homework, no papers, no tests. You come, you sit in, we discuss, and I walk through the biblical foundation for the unseen realm, drawing on Michael Heiser's work. Some of the listeners may be familiar with Heiser's work, on the unseen realm, and where did demons and the fall of Satan, where does all that come from in the text? And how do we really put together a solid biblical worldview of spiritual warfare? And so that's the first half of the course. And the second half of the course is, how do we engage? How do we engage in spiritual warfare? What does it mean for my own personal discipleship and my life? And so this is an audit-only course. This is not just for pastors. Mm-hmm. Or for degree-seeking students. This is for people who want to go deeper and find a trusted source, who have the credentialing and the academic background to teach the scriptures and theology. So I think that's one main thing I want to get across to listeners. Seminary is not just for pastors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share the website one more time, please.
Yeah, it's wbs.edu, Wesley Biblical Seminary. Wesley, B as in Bravo, S as in Susan, .E Edward D David U, WBS.edu.
All right. Well, in the last few moments of our broadcast, as usual, if there's someone listening today, if you've never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer of salvation with me. If you're not sure if you're saved, or you know you're not saved, or if you sense a need to recommit your heart, we invite you to simply pray this prayer with us, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, today, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Help me to live my whole life for you. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd very much like to be in touch with you, like to share with you some resources that'll help you to really begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Dr. Ayers, again, thank you so much for being with us. Share the website for Wesley Biblical Seminary one more time before we go.
WBS.edu. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Love you, brother.
Thank you. Great to have you, and we look forward to having you back again sometime soon. Thanks for listening. Pray much for Dr. Matt Ayers and the ministry and mission of Wesley Biblical Seminary. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.